nothing.
Okay. Well, speaking of wieners, penises, here's your titty monster.
Brooke has brought the first guest to ever bring me a gift. Thank you so much. Wow. May I read what's on here?
Yeah, of course.
So what was the inspiration behind this specific
collab? Here, you move the door knocker because there's comes with it.
There's a door knock. Oh, okay. All right.
It helps.
So door knocker.
From Keep Abreast. So
from Keep Abreast.
Basically, that's a door knocker that just tells you how to check yourself once a month for lumps and stuff. But Keep Abreast, $20 to every beanie that gets sold through Titty Monster. This is my pink beanie, but Titty Monster has a mastectomy scar. And yeah, $20 for every beanie sold is going to Keep Abreast. So this is my third year of doing it.
Hell yeah.
And I have to plug it. So I thought, why not do it here?
I don't wear beanies, so this is a big day for me.
And it's pink. You look good, though.
October.
Yep.
Yeah. October breast cancer is awareness. Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Everything's pink.
Everything's pink. I remember when I played football, I would be like, yes, we can put pink tape on our stuff now. Anyway, welcome back to the Joe Rogan podcast.
Real men wear pink, bro.
Facts. See this shit? Got a very special guest. Got the one and only Brooke. How do you say your last name?
Kamajias.
I could gun to my head, say known. Brooke's last name, pull the trigger. How you doing, Brooke?
Come guys. Yeah, it's always come guys. I mean, I was brutal in high school, like my whole life.
What? Like,
it's anglicized Dutch. So
you're Dutch.
Yeah. So it was Kom and Geisen. And then when, you know, they moved here, they changed it to sound more anglicized.
Ellis Island. They're like, yeah, we can't have the motherfuckers walking around. I don't even know.
I don't think it was all that. But yeah, it was just like they just changed it to sound. But I think Kom and Geisen is not as sounds easier to like dissect than my last name. People are like, okay.
I think it's because it's just those last couple of letters. It's like, oh, you got me. Yeah, it's just like.
People are like, are you Hungarian? I'm like, I'm so white. What are you? Like,
so pale.
Do I look Hungarian?
So Caucasian. How does this look?
Looks good.
Look good.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you.
I don't know. I'm definitely like Irish, Italian, Mickey Meatball. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
But
with a pink hat
the
on.
Trick to remember my last name is it rhymes with comedies. Comedies.
Comedies. Comedies.
There's a bar in Delaware called Comedies Pub. My mom found it on Facebook. And like we went and there's a lot of comedies in the Delaware area. But yeah, we went to this pub.
Are you related to them?
Distant, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But like this pub is covered with cameras and you see like pictures of like Prince on the wall and like Muhammad Ali and like they're beautiful like black and white 35 millimeter prints. And I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like a photo nerd at this point. And my cousin Fred Comedies was like a huge photographer in the Delaware area who like went to the camp to fight, watch Muhammad Ali fight and like would go shoot like concerts and stuff. And like, so yeah, it was just cameras hanging from the ceiling, and it was really cool because it was like, whoa, like this connection here.
Yeah.
But he like was up for the, I don't know if he was like nominated for the Pulitzer, but there was like some inkling that was like his work was almost nominated or something. Sick. But yeah, he was a cool guy. I got to meet him.
Hell yeah. Interesting. Yeah. It's like it's in my weird, blood. Subtle thing like that, or it's just like small world. Like you knew Gigi.
Yeah. Like, that was so weird.
Yeah. But that Gigi's that memorable. Like, I've had people that know me that have also been like, wait, I know who your cousin is. Because 10 years ago, I helped her bring groceries inside. And I remembered it. It's like, people just remember her.
I, like, really was like, when I left, I was like, why didn't you just get her number? Like, just so, like, because, like, I was like.
So you can have a
she
friend.
She was so sweet. Yeah, I needed friends. I needed someone to, like, smoke a bong with.
I don't know if I don't know if Gigi's ever smoked weed, but, like.
Let's get her up here.
Let's get her out. Can we get that bong out? But everything's good, Brooke. Anything new? What's going on? How's your week? It's Friday.
I've been luckily very busy.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you guys got really affected, but like last year, with like the strikes and stuff, like there was just nothing up here, and I was in between, you know, one, settling up here from the city and like getting out of a relationship and like kind of starting over up here, and like. There's also no freelance work. So yeah. I was like, fuck, I'm 30 years old. Like, what the hell? So, like, honestly, I just turned 32 last week.
Happy
birthday. Yeah, thank you. And things are good. I'm, like, doing what I like to do. I'm shooting. Mm-hmm. I'm editing. doing this shit, you know.
And rocking the pink hat.
And rocking.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I need to push beanies. I need to push beans.
It's that time of year. Everybody needs a beanie. I always will buy a beanie for something. Like, oh, because now I work outside or like I snowboard. I always lose them. Kara got me a Supreme beanie and I can't find it. And she like wanted to kill me because.
She's so nice.
I know.
Where is baby girl?
I know.
I love her.
I got to get her a beanie so she could lose it. Maybe one of these.
Yeah, Avi, you're not going to wear it.
Does it look good? Don't lie. Do I look like a penis?
No, it looks...
I look like a penis.
No, it actually looks really good on you. Beanies look good on you. It looks super fuchsia.
Fuchsia?
It looks fuchsia in these lights.
Oh, okay. Spence, be honest.
You look great.
He's fucking lying out of his ass, though. I can see the penis.
Supreme.
Yo, that could be that might be in the cards there. Now that you have defeated Monster Energy,
the sky's the limit. Imagine I did a collab. That would be so funny if I ever did a collab.
Talk about that. So you had, what was it, a trademark war?
Okay. This is what it was.
Okay.
So the cartoon, I mean, she's, this one here is obviously for breast cancer, but the normal one, she has both her titties. Mm-hmm. And the cartoon itself was registered, no problem. I wanted the trademark for it. But 2-3 years ago, I was like, well, I need to be smart and get the name.
Yeah.
So I registered Titty Monster. And what happened was you could be anywhere in the United States and you could be any type of business. Like you could have had this podcast be Dying Monster Films. And if you wanted to register it, you might get a letter of opposition, which is what I received. Mm. And I was one of 30 companies that month that Monster Energy's lawyers just send out. And a letter of opposition essentially is like, we're blocking you from this, from continuing because of brand confusion. Which is like crazy because it's like, well, you don't own the word monster, but yeah. They are also a corporation with a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's the next step for that? People try and fight it, but they will just bury you, you know, under paperwork and legal debt.
Yeah.
I literally had to spend, what they do is you can answer to the letter of opposition, but you only have 30 days. And so I had only a month to find a lawyer basically to answer the letter of opposition. And it cost me $900 just to have a lawyer say, no, we're going to go forward with this, until I was able to find pro bono lawyers to represent me. But so like I had bought myself some time. I like moved up back to my parents' house and like paying fucking $900 for the, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And I have a friend named Jessie who's mom. She's, you know, retired, but she's a lawyer. She's big Titty Monster fan, wears her crew neck and shit. She let me call her and I was like, what do I do? Like, I can't afford a lawyer. Mm. So she was like, all right, let's talk about it. Like, and I think she's the one that found this article about this guy who got some student lawyers. They weren't lawyers, but they were in the law program at this university. I forget the university. But this guy had like these huge fish tanks in his basement.
He was aquarium? A big,
yeah. Okay. Like he was one of these people that collects huge fish. They're called monster fish.
Okay.
And he had this, website called monsterfishkeepers.com where other weirdos like him, like this niche, like cool, like hobby, like there's this forum. So he wanted to trademark it and he got hit with a letter of opposition. And these student lawyers fought. They literally worked their asses off that these student lawyers, they beat them.
Wow.
Because there's no reason why a student lawyer or a student.
They did their homework. They
represent somebody.
Like, yeah.
Like, because you, I guess.
Yeah, have you seen Legally Blonde?
No. Yeah, like it's hard.
That's pretty much the plot of Legally Blonde, right? She's like a. Right? Like she's student and she ends up like kind of winning the case for her defense. I don't know. Sorry. I've seen it. But anyway, continue.
Yeah. You've seen it a couple times. I like know every word. It's kind of like, I guess, Legally Blonde where here's the thing. So we had that precedent with Monster Fish Keepers, but I then needed to still find a lawyer to do, you know, the work. So Jesse's mom, Hetty, was like, there's this thing in the city called the Volunteer Lawyers for Artists of New York. Mm-hmm. And for an $85 membership for the year, you get access to like any type of issue that you're having. They will pair you up with a lawyer that's willing to provide pro bono services. Uh-huh. So I had them help me three times. Got fucked over by some clients, got my money back, and some titty monster shit. These people were trying to keep not paying me and all this titty monster shit.
Yeah.
They handled it. I got a contract made after that. I was like, well, can you guys help me? Like, and they were like, yeah. Another lawyer, we, you know, he typed up, if you guys need that, I have that for you. You know, I send it to people all the time. I'm like, you should have this. Like, don't ever go through what I went through. And then they hooked me up with Prior Cashman, and Prior Cashman took it so seriously. Like, they literally rep Titty Monster. Like, it was so crazy how serious they took it. They are so badass and shit. And, uh-huh. like, there's a meme of, like, Big Bird sitting at a conference table.
Yeah.
They asked me, like, after our first Zoom, it was, like, really intense. They're just so, like, amazing. I'm like, fuck, they're so smart. They're so cool. They're taking this shit so seriously. And they're like, why aren't you? Like, you need to take this. Like, this is amazing. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And they're like, how do you feel? I'm like, do you know the meme of Big Bird sitting at a conference table? That's how I feel. It was just, like, kind of imposter syndrome a little bit. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, but, I mean, it's, I'm really... I'm proud of it. Like, it is like, yeah, fuck monster. Like, I want to register fuck monster and then get it.
Yeah. I mean, like, they don't, like you said, they don't own.
I would just go through the same thing again.
They also don't own the word energy. So, like,
well, there's monster.com, which is like the job site.
The job site thing. But it's very courageous of you, because like most people are like, oh, all right, let's just change the name. But obviously the name Titty Monster has like a great meaning to you. It's more mm-hmm. than just like a brand or an identity. There's backstory there. Would you right. care to share?
Of course.
What and why?
So it was a nickname that, like, I mean, I just feel like when you're a kid and like overnight, suddenly like someone has a boyfriend and a girlfriend and like your bodies are changing. And it's like, I was still somebody that was like, wait, I want to still be a kid. Like,
yeah.
But things were changing so fast. And like, I already knew I was different when it came to like being gay, but that was obviously something that I was going to push down. But something I couldn't hide was my body changing. And like all these girls suddenly are like, you're so lucky. You're so lucky. Like, you have tits. You're so lucky. And I'm like, stop like objectifying me. Mm. Like, you know, it was just like, I was so uncomfortable. And so like this nickname was supposed to be playful. It wasn't like, it was, you know, other girls that I was close to. But it did sting a little bit, because it was like, not only was I uncomfortable on the outside, I was super uncomfortable on the inside, like all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I really don't feel like I felt like even myself, like truly when I did come out and stuff, but like, I really feel like it takes you to be like 30 to like really like feel like, okay, I feel like I know myself.
Gotcha.
Truly.
I've heard that from a lot of like people that are older than me. It's like, just get to 30, you'll be all right. Or like, you'll figure something out. And, well, we'll see, for me at least. But, so they called you Titty Monster.
Yeah. And like playfully.
You started to embrace it, but it was still like it's like a name birth of irony almost, of like, this was meant to be this thing, but now I'm going to take control of this word.
Totally. Gotcha. Absolutely. Yeah. So, it was like reclaiming the nickname, where it's like, all right, I'm out. I'm sober. Like, I'm no longer like gonna, you know, numb myself with alcohol, and like, I'm gonna really like deal and like embrace what I got, you know. And like, a lot of people are like, before I would really tell people the story behind it, people are like, oh, cool, boob cartoon. And I'm like, yeah, it is a boob cartoon, but you know, it also is this. It's like, yeah, like I really love like how everyone really embraces it, but sometimes it is like, you know, I'll get like the Instagram follows and it's like some like Midwestern white guy that's like, tits. Like, to them all. Yeah, boobies. It's like, how about boobies? Yeah, where are the boobies at?
I'm here to see some tits.
I'm here, yep. Titty Moss is where?
Well, yeah, I guess everybody likes boobs, I think, objectively.
We all got them.
Everybody's got them. Man boobs, women boobs, any other identifying.
Well, men get breast cancer. Yes. That's why you got to check yourself. But, like, what's so funny is, like, as insecure as I was as a female, like, obviously, like, my guy counterparts in that age group, like, not only must be kind of feeling very similarly, mm-hmm. but like I feel like it's different because traditionally men are told to like kind of like not talk about it, be tough and stuff like that, and like not have like proper outlets mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Like I'm not saying like women don't, but I just feel like, yeah, like that's an insecurity that you were probably like, you know, really thought about as a kid. Like it's yeah. so funny, like what, like now, like I'm like, I beat myself up as a kid about stupid yeah. shit.
It's because we're like, I think it just goes back to like kids are evil and mean. So like when you're young and you're just surrounded by like kids, like think in absolutes, and then middle school happens, and then most of the kids like move on from thinking like that, but it still does. Everybody I know has at least been like, yeah, this person said something to me in elementary school and it stayed with me forever. I guarantee you that person said that probably doesn't remember because
oh, yeah.
that kids are just like, you're fat, you're ugly, you're stupid. And then you're like, oh damn, I'm fat, never be ugly, a teacher. And stupid. Oh, I couldn't.
I would. My sister's a teacher and I'm just like, how?
How do you do it?
Kids are so fucking mean.
I don't even know how I'd be as a parent. I'm an uncle. My nephew's a baby, so I don't even got nothing to worry about.
Same.
But like,
I'm a new aunt.
Yeah. Welcome. Welcome to the aunt, uncle 2024.
But it's baby. You're kind of like, hi.
Yeah. It's like, I'm related to you, but I have no obligation to take care of you. It's terrific. Where is I going with that? But, you know, yeah, like kids think in absolutes and we also internalize that for ourselves at like a young age, and it sticks with us throughout. Like for me, and I'm sure you can agree, it's like my thing was always the weight, and that made me like have such a perception about myself. And then one day I was like, wait, that happened how long ago? I gotta just get over it.
I like literally like in seventh grade like was worrying about being fat, like yeah. and I was like not eating enough and I was like getting dizzy. And like how fucking stupid. I like wish I could go back and be like, bitch, go eat some mozzarella sticks. Eat as many.
Go eat those pizza dippers, bro.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Where'd you go to school? Where are you from originally?
Westchester. It's so funny. So my grandparents met at NFA in the 50s. My dad's parents.
Wow. Okay.
Right. So, and you know, he's from the area. I'm from Westchester though. But best decision my parents made was getting us out of there.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I love it up here. I've
heard nothing but terrible things about Westchester County.
It's a bubble. It's just a very upper middle class bubble that I definitely feel like, thank God I'm not in it anymore. Yeah, like yeah. I'm a more worldly person for it. But. Oh, yeah.
So when did Titty Monster become? So did you design the original?
Yes.
Cartoon? So was that something you were always like doodling and workshopping on? Did you know it was going to become a brand? Like what was the roadmap?
So it was actually, what birthday was it? 6 years ago. What's 6 minus 32?
24.
No.
26.
26th birthday. I worked that day. I was working for these two dudes at like doing photo, and like it was a really long day, I remember. And it was, I had never really had people like throw me like a birthday party before. It was like really cool, but I was like newly sober for the first time, and like things were going my way. I was like out, I was like making money, and my roommates threw me like a little birthday party. I like come home and like my friends were waiting there for me, and it was like, wow, this is amazing. And we had such a cool apartment in Brooklyn. I lived with like a sound engineer and like video game nerds. It would be like living with you two and like having the best movie couch set up in the basement, yeah. like surround sound, huge TV, record player.
Nothing in the fridge, but everything in the living room.
Yes. Yeah. The best couches, like, oh my God. So we're in the basement. We had like a backyard and we were like barbecuing, and then we ended up in the basement. We were playing Quiplash. Have you ever played
Quiplash? Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were playing Quiplash, and you draw your avatar, and I drew Titty Monster just like then and there with my tip of my finger. Like, I cannot draw Titty Monster. Like, I suck at it. I've been trying to practice. Really? Yeah, I'm not good at it. So I can't do it. I like drew her on my iPhone. So that was my avatar for Quiplash with my roommates and my friends. But we couldn't stop fucking laughing at my avatar. Like, no matter what we were playing, we were like, you're fucking. And obviously that, I took a picture of the screen, I remember, and I was like, I need to remember this. So I knew that Titty Monster was like in the back of my head, but I didn't really associate it with the drawing yet. But my mom is such a fucking, like, she sees like a cool like gadget or toy and she like has to buy it. And she bought a Cricut, the vinyl cutter. You can like,
oh, Cricut machine.
The Cricut. Yeah, like, yeah, you can buy them at like Michael's and stuff. You like, and so
make
she like
stickers and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can buy the heat press vinyl. And so she bought one, but it's always she buys one and then she's like, "Are you figuring it out? I'm not I'm like, you do it." And I'm like, okay. So I was like, well, what am I gonna make? And I was like, well, I have this little drawing. So I bought some heat press vinyl and I just went to Michael's. I bought like whatever they had. I had like a white crew neck and like a black crew neck and like a t-shirt here. And I went in my basement and I fucked around. The first few were horrible. I didn't know, not know what the fuck I was doing. I definitely mailed some to some people that they were like, what the fuck? They were like really bad.
Psychopath. What the fuck is this?
Yeah. Cause like still didn't have a name for her, but I eventually got better at that. And then the pocket crew, like the pocket t-shirt came to mind where you like, it's kind of like the beanie where you can like flash like people.
And there's titties.
I was like, well, I can do that. Like, let's see if Michael's has that. And it was always just like something to do. Like, I always like to be creative in that way, that it was like a really fun project that I was like, okay, I can go get stoned in my basement and like heat press some shit. No, I'll post on Instagram. Oh, somebody wants to really actually buy this. Okay. Like, what's your address? And so I was making money. Like, I was like, okay, like, let's go.
I remember like at the skate park, I'd be like, titty, I'm seeing this titty monster thing everywhere. And I'm like, who is? I thought it was like monster. One of the, I was like, it has to be somebody I know because it's like all over the skate park. People have the grip tape, the beanie, the stickers. And then like, I just remember, I'm like, I wonder who's like making this shit. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see a heavily padded helmet, wrist guards, elbow pads, knee pads, and like a 5-panel hat and then a titty monster shirt. And I go, I bet you it's probably that person right there. And sure enough, it was.
Doing my tray flip.
Doing your tray flip. Mm-hmm. I think I maybe, no joke, seen you on top of your skateboard once my whole life.
I mean,
I guess I look away and you land tricks. I come back and you're just like,
you know why I started going to the skate park? No, I did actually. I was skating in Brooklyn, but it was all flat ground, and I just like wanted to ride around. And it is so I was much like, fun. Oh my god, I'm like of the age where like I can do this shit. I'm gonna buy a skateboard. Fuck it. So I would just zoom around in Brooklyn. And so when I came up here, I like never skated a skate park. And again, like I don't have rubber bones like you guys. Like I didn't start skating. Like, yeah. I'm not good. Like, but I went to the skate park because I was like, well, I'll fucking live up here now. Like, where am I gonna buy weed?
Yeah.
So and, I went there first.
You'll find it. You will find weed at the skate park.
Yeah, I made friends.
You have any new things? And I know other than pushing these beanies out, definitely go buy one. But like any new projects associated with Titty Monster after your well fought legal battle?
Well, I have ideas, but I also have, here's the thing, like, I don't want to agitate, like, Monster or anything, like, that is, like, I'm really lucky what happened, and, like, I'm not going to push it, because I did post on Instagram, like, a shirt said, like, I fought Monster Energy, and all I got was this trademark, and, like, people are like, where can I get that, and I'm like, I have to ask my lawyers, like, because there have been instances where, like, I might want to put, like, the letter of opposition on a shirt. I would take my address out of it and stuff like that.
Yeah, you like could, like, black out, like, certain... And just black out would be so sick. And just Titty Monster over all the, like, black bars.
Yeah, or just, like, Titty Monster at, like, One Titty Drive. Yeah. Tittyville.
Boo, Illinois.
Love it. There you go. But there was... My friend Peter had this idea when the legal battle was happening, and I was telling him about it. We were on the phone. He was like, you should do a shirt that says unleash the breast, like unleash the breast, but put R in parentheses because they have trademarked unleash the beast. They don't really use it as much. Like early 2000s. I feel like when we were in high school, I saw.
It was everywhere.
Yeah.
Unleash the beast.
They have so many things that like they've trademarked that you're like, oh yeah, that like the Java monster. Like, have you ever had a Java monster?
Nah. It's I've like the never coffee energy drank
drink. Me a neither. Monster. I don't like energy drinks really, but.
Nah. I don't want almost heart attacks.
If I have to, I drink like an orange Red Bull, but that's because like my waitressing days, like in the city, like I basically worked at like a club restaurant, so you like had to keep the vibes up.
But hey, you guys partying?
But tonight? I'm like, then I come home and like it's like 3 a.m. and drop. I'm like, I can't stop dancing.
It's like that Key and Peele sketch where they're just like stuck forever in the LMFAO music video. Yeah, I've never, I used to drink like the Celsius. They're just so bad like for Celsius. You. They're so bad.
They give me a headache, but
the best energy drink, go to bed on time.
I drink coffee
or that,
like, and I'll drink shitty coffee. Like I'm addicted to coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, I should plug Stewart's. Yeah. Basically, I asked my lawyers. I was like, hey, I have this idea, like, unleash the breast. And they were like, no. They were like, be smart. Like, that's, like, literally poking a bear. Because now you're antagonizing them. And, like, they have reason to, like, spend all their money to make your life miserable. And I'm like, noted. Like, I'm not going to do that.
What about...
So I don't want that to happen.
What if you take, like... Are you familiar with Stone Cold Steve Austin? He would smash the beer cans and drink.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you just do two, like, energy drinks just going down the... like, wet t-shirt. That's some
Kenny
contest.
Power shit. Oh, my God. I need you on Team Titty.
Yo. Put me on the marketing. Creative brand marketing, bro.
Kara's our model.
Actually, working on
Where's
a...
Where's Kara at?
Huh?
Kara.
Where's Kara at? Yeah. She's...
Spokesperson.
As of right now...
My bed.
You wish. she's do. At work. Selling bridal dresses.
She makes me laugh. So, like, I just want what you... Like, the fact
you want to own my girlfriend.
No, I want what you have. Like, you guys just fuck with each other. Like, you guys are each other's best friends. Like, you, like, body slammed her in, like, a blow-up castle.
Sure did.
You... She did this really weird thing where she, like, did, like, a Broadway dance and then hit a golf ball. And it was, like, the worst hit ever. And she went... And it was, like, this bitch is so funny.
Yeah. She is the best. You should see what I do to her off camera. I obviously have seen... what is it? The
Furby
sketch and all the other ones on Vimeo. So let's talk about your comedy sketch career here. So
it's been on pause.
It's been on pause. I would love to see a return, bro, because you are very funny. You do have some skill. The Furby one was very interesting for sure. And I remember you gave me the backstory as to that. But like, so when you moved to the city, was it to pursue acting? Was it to pursue photography? What?
Okay, so... I went to School of Visual Arts.
Where at?
In New York City.
What school?
School of Visual Arts.
Oh, that's what it's called?
It's called SVA. Oh, okay, I know. Bad. I know everyone's like, is that a 2-year school? Does NYU own it?
It's a 9-year school, bitch. Yeah.
Dude, it's so funny. How do you teach kids film? You just like show movies and it's like, that's good.
Figure that out. Go do that.
Yeah. And you're like, is it good? My brain isn't developed enough yet.
Why is
like,
it good?
Yeah. I don't even know who I am. But yeah, SVA for screenwriting. But like, I always like naturally was good at photography in high school and stuff. And everyone always kind of was like, why aren't you going for photo? I just always really loved movies. Like my first job, like not even before my first job, like my mom was a bookkeeper at a theater not far in Peekskill called the Paramount. And they would have live acts. But on the weekend, there was this really rad guy named Ron who would show movies, and they would be like obscure independent film, and he would sell like 2 tickets. But my mom would drive me up, I would sell the tickets, and I would get popcorn, candy, and a soda, and $20. I felt like a fucking millionaire. Damn. And I'd get to watch the movie.
And how,
in this
thousand seat theater.
Started working at 12.
Nice. I had a job at 12. It's the right thing
my
to do.
My mom like was like, what do you want to do on a Friday night? You're not doing anything. You want to make $20 and go watch a movie. And I would watch these like amazing movies. And so then when I actually legally could work, my first job was an independent movie theater in Westchester called the Jacob Burns, which really, it's to this day, it's amazing.
It's like, still there.
It's thriving. Like, it really is, like, we should field trip one day.
I'm down.
It's great, and, like, it's only gotten better.
We need to find new movie theaters, because fucking Showtime.
Yeah, we had talked about it on a previous episode about Showtime.
As long as they don't knock it down, because then we'll buy it one day.
I mean, no, they're going to knock it down. Sneak in there.
What?
It was just steal some seats. Just the nostalgia.
Steal some reels. So you. So it was movies that. So you wanted then pursue filmmaking?
It was filmmaking. And also, secretly, I feel like I always liked doing like the plays and stuff in high school. And I was like, yeah, I want to. But I'm like, I don't know. I can't sing or anything. Like, I'm no Kara. I'm not like Broadway. I wasn't Broadway that. But it really did interest me. And you didn't have to declare like your concentration at SVA. You just picked like film, video, or photography. And then your second year, you picked what you wanted to focus on. And I kind of wish, I mean, honestly, I would not go back to film school. I would just get on set if I ever wanted to redo it. But
yeah.
Yeah, like, I feel like I learned more about how not to be I was just, like, really, like, I was thrown into the city at, like, basically 18, and I was, like, drinking a lot and just, like, coping and, like, not taking care of myself and, like, being fucked up, like just.
So you had moved there to pursue college, but yeah, the substances had gotten in the way.
Well, yeah, and I like it. Just it was the. I feel like when you move to the city, you like really like learn about like the city and like art schools. Kind of like you make what you make of it. Like art schools, like if you want to do it, you'll do it. And I feel like for screenwriting, for me, I'm not really a word person. I'm more a visual person. That's why photography always came naturally to me. And even it's so funny, my senior year, I took a freshman photo class, and it was kind of a big stink. Like. But I like made it happen. So I was like a senior in this freshman darkroom class, and I was just like, I love that. And I would always be, even on my lunch break, I had an internship at SNL that year, and in between like class and my internship, I would go to the darkroom and develop. That was just my safe haven.
I'm currently learning how to develop. I've been studying and watching.
So relaxing. I was just saying to someone today, I was like, digital scared the shit out of me. Like in high school, I took a darkroom class. They don't teach that anymore.
No.
It was so relaxing to me, but like film takes it to that step where it's so like you need, it's so mechanical that it's like broke. It's so broken down that like once you learn that, it actually made digital like not scary for me. And yeah. I was explaining that to somebody that like you get a digital camera and like all the settings, you're like, what the fuck? But like then once with like film, like the ISO of your roll, like, okay, put that in the camera. Okay. Make sure, and like you have the light meter, like making, you know, getting good at that. Like, I wouldn't be where I'm at. Like, and I just love the process of it. It's just so fascinating. Like, what saved me was when I went to college, it was really rough. Wasn't out of the closet or anything. And I was like, really, like, kind of figuring my shit out. But I had moved to Brooklyn, and there was a community darkroom there called the Bushwick Community Darkroom that, like, I have friends from. To this day from there that are like some of the most amazing photographers, but it was a big fucking warehouse. There was like a skate park in the back. Oh, and like they, it was great. Like the parties there were like, it was huge tires. Like you could go in at any hour you wanted. Someone would be just like smoking a joint and drinking a beer, like waiting for their film to dry. And it was madness, but it was amazing. And like, I really miss that. Like, I wish we could do that here. It'd be so cool.
We can one day. So you interned at SNL, though.
Yeah, but it's...
Wasn't that great of an experience?
No, I will always be so grateful for it. Uh-huh. But what's so funny about it is, like, you know the term, never meet your heroes? It's like...
Yeah, you had mentioned that before. Yeah.
It's like, how do I explain it? I will be forever grateful. And I just feel like when you get something like that, and it's like a dream for anyone, like writer... actor, literally intern.
What was your intern focus?
Writer's research. And you want to know how much research. Fucking writer's research I did? I got so much coffee from Starbucks and fucking Hale and Hardy, and I would get so, I was so broke that like Colin Jost would be like, hey, can you go get me some chicken orzo soup? And I'd be like, sure. I'd go downstairs, come back up, I would get my stamp card stamped, and I'd get 12. Come up, someone else would be like, hey, can you go get me soup? I'd get another stamp. I would eat. Like, I would just eat for free by, like, getting stamps of, like, other people's, like, shit. Yeah, it was, like, what's the analogy I want to make? It's everyone's, like, nerd weirdo's dream to work there. Like, it is, like, church to some people, including myself. And suddenly you're, like, thrown into this, like, schedule that's not me, but like the writers and everybody are like, literally you don't sleep. Like it's one after the other, and you party. The parties are till 8 a.m. Like it was like, and these, it's like finally the kids that like weren't cool in high school are suddenly fucking cool.
Yeah.
And like the only way, the only like reference and frame of mind they have is like the people that kind of treated them like shit in high school. So like they kind of like become dicks like to the interns and stuff, where it's like, well, you're like they can treat us like who are you? Like I'm the shit, like look who I am. But then you meet the other people that like learn your fucking name. Like Bobby Moynihan will forever be a fucking angel baby. Like learned thank your
God.
Name
thank God.
I mean, like it,
I couldn't imagine he would be anything but a nice person. Bobby
great
Moynihan.
Like grateful, like just like says thank you and you get called. Like,
yeah.
He knows, like he knew, like, yeah, you're getting us coffee. Like, but you know, if things were lulling, like the couches were right outside his office, literally couches. We just sat there. I would just sit there on my fucking laptop. He would just like pop out and be like, what's going on, guys? It was just like chill. Like, but yeah, it was a weird time. I mean, I definitely.
So how did you end up doing? Because you did, what was it, upright?
Okay. So yeah. So Bobby's UCB too. And I was just like, I really gravitated towards like people like him where I'm like, well, how did you like learn this? Like, and he came up through UCB and I was like, all right, well, what's next step? Like, I had moved home and we were in Beacon, my family, and I signed up for UCB classes and would take the train down. And I feel like now because I'm comfortable and like sober and everything, I had such bad performance anxiety. I had like a bathtub talk show at one point where I would interview comedians I'd met at UCB and they've gone on to do great things, but we would drink beer in a bathtub. And it was like me trying to be like, I'm so fucking cool. And really it's like, I have such bad anxiety. Like, I like need to
like
drink
naked
this.
In a bathtub. Like
I had a bathing suit. Oh, okay.
Still, that's like
I would like rant on stupid shit. It was stupid. It was really, it's really cringe and I like whatever. But like, I never was good to be like on a team at UCB. But the best thing was like I got an internship Friday nights when the old theater was still in Chelsea. It was the most disgusting fucking theater. We would clean these toilets for free classes and it was a 6 p.m. to 3 a.m. shift, but I saw some of the best fucking comedy and improv, like pissing my pants, dude. Like I saw some people that have gone on to like, I'll be watching TV and I'll be like, mom, that person, they're UCB. She'll be like, really? I'm like, yeah, oh, mom, that person. Yeah, that person. Like, it's just like, they're all amazing and they've gone on to do such cool shit. Like, but yeah, I gravitated to like the sketch comedy stuff too. Like I didn't make shit in film school. I was like so insecure and everyone's like so like trying to be cool. And like even myself, like I don't know who I am. So, but I was so insecure. I didn't make anything.
Well, I think the people who are trying to be cool are really masking that insecure. Like I can't let people know I'm.
But I was that person too. But I didn't even make anything because also art school takes itself so seriously. Like if I tried making Furby and bringing that to class, like I remember watching people. My friend Dom, he went to SVA. He's a skater. He's amazing. He came in with his skateboard first day of school, and the teacher scoffed and wrote on the chalkboard, no skate films. And he was like, well, fuck this. Like, what do you mean no skate films? Yeah. Some of the best filmmakers and directors are fucking skaters, bro. Like, what do you mean that? Like, and I really understood
that. There shouldn't be fucking rules like that in art school.
I'm like, how can you shut that down? It's New York City. This kid probably like whatever it was like he shut him down. And I feel like I shut down because I really liked making comedy, but like bringing a comedy video to class, I didn't really feel like I had honed that skill or anything. And so UCB really made me feel like, oh, I can make stupid shit. Like I can make and look who's doing like Tim Robinson. Like, yeah, he like makes the craziest shit. That's where his mind goes. And it's, people love it. They eat it up. But art school's never going to, like, be like, yeah, that's amazing. Like, a hot dog fucking car comes into
us. Somebody drove a hot dog car right through that window. Who was it? Yeah, who was it? We promised we won't be mad. I love that one. That's so funny.
So, yeah, it's like, yeah. Somebody got paid making that.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, I want to do that.
What was it? What's the thing you've been doing with the mints?
I should have brought some. I'm going to bring you guys some. Flint's Mints is my friend's company. Uh-huh. And my friend Kiji does the art.
Uh-huh.
And what happens when you put the mint in your mouth is there's this ingredient called the spilanthi flower, which is like, it's this little yellow like bud, and it it's like Szechuan. It's like, it essentially makes your mouth salivate. It's for cotton mouth. So like they market it to stoners and stuff, but also, so I've shot stuff for them at like weed.
Yeah.
But then they went to like a porno like convention. Fire. Cause like all the ads are like, oh my God, sloppy.
Yeah.
It's like, now you're going to get ads. Like, it's just like one of those things where like now the ads are going to come up and you're gonna be like, ooh, like what the hell? But they're amazing. Like, and so yeah, I was shooting All Things Go Fest in Queens. I'll be doing something this weekend. It's like Halloween season, so I'm gonna do more photos with them, but I'll bring you mints. They're fun. There's no packaging, no plastic packaging.
That's good. It's in a tin.
Yeah,
hell yeah. So you
can put like
Altoids, but for cool people.
Well, they have the sour tangerine flavor that's really similar to the old sour Altoids. Do you remember those?
Yeah,
those were the shit.
I remember them.
Dark for cool
Nah. Altoids are just like.
I don't remember the sound. Icebreakers?
Altoids are Harvard University, and icebreakers are like UConn or something.
What's icebreakers? The little balls?
No, they're like the little discs. They're like the two colored discs.
I love American food. Is it American the balls? Food. Nah, it's the discs.
It's a
disc.
It's a, you know, it's mostly plastic. So let's talk about photography then. So was that another artistic medium? Oh, big word.
So
that you discovered.
Through UCB. I met my photo mentor, who is an amazing photographer named Chad, and he took me under his wing and completely just was like, you want to be a photo assistant? Like, can you be reliable and show up on time? And like and you get paid way more than like any other job. You get to meet someone super cool and you're going to buy me lunch, like sign me the fuck up. Like, this is everything. So he really taught me everything. And yeah, he got started by messaging people on MySpace and like was J. Cole's photographer.
Whoa.
And he like has shot like so many amazing people and musicians and rappers and stuff. And I just got to like be on set. It was cool. And like watching someone direct and like get that connection with who you're shooting. Cause everyone like hates getting their photo taken.
I hate it.
Everyone I like, hate it's it. Like
and I need new headshots. And
well, but see, that's the thing. Like, I got to watch him and how he gets you, like, a person to lower their inhibitions. I don't know if that's, like, how you would say it, but, like, to relax. And, like, so that's, like, why, like, everyone says it. They hate that. Everyone hates their photo being taken. I hate my photo being taken. He has taken so many bad photos of me. And you get used to it. Like, because as a photo assistant, sometimes you just need someone to sit in with lighting. You just, like, can you just sit there?
Yeah.
You need a body. So I was like happy to just do that and like watch just and just like see him like pics. Think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like then I got to meet other photographers in the city and work with them. I just worked with my friend Scott, who is an amazing food photographer. And he's not necessarily like wanted to seek out food photography, but like he has honed this like look that's so beautiful and cool. And like I got to like watch how he works and stuff like that. And like it really is cool because I went from being a photo assistant to moving up here to being like, I gotta make this shit work. I bought a camera and was like, all right, I'll still photo assist, but now I am shooting for myself, which is like a big step.
But oh yeah, that's, hey, I like photography. I'm not the best at it because I'm so used to doing video that, you
know. That's funny because I feel like it's like a muscle and like I feel like weaker with video.
Well, my whole thing is just like, okay, where it changes for me because like those cameras is what I shoot on, right? I see exactly what the image is looking like as it's coming to me. With a photo, with like my Canon, I'll be like, oh yeah, I'll set it like this, take the photo, and then be like, wait, why is it darker? Let me change this. Wait, why is it brighter? So I constantly have to be like, because on the Blackmagic, it says aperture, ISO, white balance, all as clear as day. Then I'll switch back.
It's the same thing.
I know it's the same thing. But then I'll look at my Canon and go, which one's which again? Oh, like, yeah, because the way I have it set up is different. And I don't have any, like, telephoto lenses. I only have this Sin, whatever, variable zoom lenses. So trying to, like, I tried to shoot photos with the 24-70 the other day, and they came out really crisp. Problem is, the autofocus wasn't working, so everything had to be manual. But then.
So the lens is broken?
Cropped. Huh?
The lens is broken?
No. It's just like. The body of the camera was just.
But the autofocus, why would it wouldn't work?
It would work, but it would focus on like not what I wanted it to do.
Oh, baby, we have to look at your settings.
Yes, please. Oh, definitely.
Because I'm actually doing video tomorrow for an event, photo and video. Oh. So I'm trying to like strengthen my video muscle. So I just got like a monitor and, you know,
what video camera do you shoot on?
I'm shooting on the Sony AR-7 III, which is my photo
setup.
I always forget, is it A7 R3 or AR7? We're Canon
guys and Blackmagic.
I have a Metabones for Canon lenses because Sony lenses are so fucking expensive.
They're insane. I shoot Canon lenses. Yeah.
It's so nerdy talk.
Do you ever shoot weddings? That's how you make money.
I'm going to, yeah, I am going to, but I'm very
particular.
I've been a second at weddings up here, the traditional shit. I never want to shoot those. Like the traditional wedding stuff up here, I'll be a second, but the pressure's not on me. It's like, I'm just there to shoot the extra stuff. Like people who have it down pat, Like, it good is, for them.
It is, like, way more, like, being a wedding photographer is way more than just shooting the photos. Like, they're directing the whole fucking
shebang. There's a list.
Yeah.
There's a list of shit. And, like, there's a list of photos you have to get and, like, you're editing and stuff. Like, you know, and what's, people are like, do you do weddings? I'm like, sure. And that world, you make a lot of money, but you burn out really quick. I feel like it's just, like, too much. It's just, it gets to the point where it's like, I can't do this. Like, it's, and like, what's funny is I had met a girl in Brooklyn who was like a travel wedding photographer. She was making fucking bank. Like, she just found this niche of like rich people that were like, we're shooting in Mexico this time. She's like, okay, I'll go to Mexico. And she's like, we're shooting in Iceland. Like, okay, damn. I'll go to, but then what happened with COVID?
Everything gone. No
way. She was like, I have no job. So like, I mean, everyone didn't have a job, but like her particular, it was like, when will this ever come back? Like, so I'm excited about this. I'm going to do a party on high 8mm, like old camcorder. Cause like,
oh, I have,
they want that look. So I just bought, actually, this is so nerdy of me. I got like targeted for one of those ads for like one of those like camcorders for like $80. That's like, get the retro 2000s look. And it's like, and it's the shittiest camera in the fucking world. Yeah. I was like, fuck it, I want one. And then I bought a high 8mm and I bought like a device to like record digitize straight it to it. And it's like, it looks so cool.
Wait, it's something to record straight off and now you have it digital already?
It's like a little input with a screen on it that you need a tape in the camera.
Yeah. It's like it's going like through the S. Tape. It's yep. goes through the S port.
Yep.
You got to show me what that is, because I bought one.
Oh, yeah, it'll be cool. I'll have
bought
to show
one.
You.
I bought a Sony one off my cousin John like a while ago, and I've been shooting with it. Like every time I go do like family event or just go hang, like
the tapes scare me because it's unreliable. Like, and if you reuse tapes, it could glitch sometimes.
Oh no, I just use brand new ones just to avoid that. Because he's like a reseller. He hooked it up. Like he was like, oh, I have like all these sealed tapes. I'm only on my second or third tape so far that I've been shooting, but yeah, that's where I got into filmmaking, obviously, was like movies, but also something I always found really interesting was just like home videos.
I made shit with my friends, like, yeah, as kids, and I feel like you were like that. Like, you guys wanted to make...
We would do
make,
skits.
Yeah,
we would for sure
on,
do
on
skits.
Mom's camera. You're like, Mom, where's the video camera? Yeah. Yeah. I made fun shit with, like, the girls I grew up with, and we were just pissing our pants, even though it was probably not funny to anyone else. We just thought we were so funny. And, like, I feel like I needed... art school, like, took that away. They were like, that's not art. But, like, I do want... That's, like, I want
to
make, like, silly stuff that makes people die laughing.
Fun. Art is supposed to be fun. I was thinking about this the other day. Yesterday, actually. We were in acting class. We were doing this assignment called Ghosts in a Room. And the assignment was, like, your partner is writing, like... pretty much a synopsis of somebody that's not in the room, and you have to portray that person. That's like the assignment.
No, that wasn't it. That wasn't
what
it.
Was it?
Did you read the whole thing?
Well, that's what we ended up happening, right? What do you mean?
Basically, because the whole idea is that the character is supposed to be someone from your life
that you always like keep
that,
with
that,
you.
Like, like influences your decision.
Gotcha. Okay, that's better. Well explained.
Acting classes stress me out.
I'm not stressed out, but
I'm excited. Anyway, so Spencer explained it better than I did, but they write about that person that's always with them, whether alive, dead, whatever, and then they hand that to the partner, and then you have to portray that person by reading it. And then I was like trying to think of something to say, because the thing that my partner Heather had wrote about her college professor was just like interesting, and I was like, damn, like, I came up with something. I was like, wait, when we're kids, our first thing that we're told to do by like adults is like, just go play.
It's so important.
For some reason, we are told to stop doing that all of a sudden and be like, no, don't do that anymore. It's like, but that was like from the jump, our first assignment, the first thing, if we were annoying our parents, go play. And then when you're doing that later on in life, like, why are you doing that? Why are you playing? It's like, that was like the first thing I was told to do. Why would I not do that? But I remember I was trying to come up with something to say, like, in character around that. But then I remembered, don't plan anything. Just go into it, like, so then I never ended up saying it. But I was thinking about that, and I was like, huh.
I did an acting conservatory right before my freshman year of college, and it was so intense. I like lost like 15 pounds, and like I just, again, deflated my confidence. I definitely burned out too before I went to college, because this program, like, and also it was just like adults being like, that wasn't good. And I'm like, okay, well, we're doing a scene about like a grown-ass couple like who live together in an apartment that like are going through this like really adult thing, and here I am at 17. And I would like ask other people, I'd be like, well, it's like really hard for me to do this, to be like, can't you just imagine? And I'm like, I don't have any frame of reference. Yeah. Like, I mean, I feel like as a 17-year-old, like I would play more parts like for a 17-year-old. Like, I don't know. Like, so again, I was like, this isn't fun. I want to play. And I feel like improv is just where in UCB and sketch was like play.
Yeah, 100%. And but there is still like, and that's the thing I've learned, like with this dramatic acting, it's still really funny. Like some of the lines, like I had to do a scene from Angels in America. And the scene that I'm doing was that, like, my wife, who's, like, fucked up on pills, is calling me out for being gay. And it's just, like, kind of funny.
True to life.
And my character's, like, super in the closet, like, bad. And I'm like, this is supposed to be intense and very serious and dramatic. But then she's like, are you a homo? And I'm like, that's so funny. That is just hilarious. You have to
How
find...
How do you not laugh when...
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. Know, you have to laugh at it, like, first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then it's not funny anymore.
Because it is serious.
Does someone die in that?
In the play?
Yeah.
Not the my character that I was playing. The guy, Joe, the character I was playing, Joe, he has an affair with a guy who's like in love with somebody else. And the guy that he's in love with has AIDS and is about to die. So
okay.
He pretty much uses my character to like forget that his actual lover's dying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
But, like, the scene picks up, like, my character just got done, like, having gay sex. And he goes home to his wife, like, hey, honey, how are you? Like, and she's like, where were you? You know, out.
Gay sex.
Like, it's just, it's funny. But it's, like, it's supposed to be very serious.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Dramatic acting also, you have to watch this David Chase documentary about The Sopranos, the creator of The Sopranos. Because James Gandolfini, it's like taking the work home with you. And I feel like they were making us do such intense shit that I was like taking it home with me as a 17-year-old. And I was just like, this is very intense for me. So like, and it's like, it's obviously as a job, like if you can separate it, like there are people who can. But James Gandolfini getting into character for Tony Soprano, obviously a fucking monster. He would put like a rock in his shoe. He's like, you want to get fucking angry? Put a rock in your shoe.
You want to get fucking angry?
You want to get
put a fucking rock in your shoe.
Yeah, with the
try list. Walking around Disney World with a fucking rock in your shoe.
Yeah.
You go to Epcot. You wait in line to go on a fucking golf ball, and there's a rock in your shoe.
There you go.
That was pretty good.
Where was I? Oh, he's like he wouldn't. He's like I don't sleep. That's like the easiest way to get angry. Force yourself not to sleep.
For me, it's not eat.
Really mean no sleep and no eat. I can get really.
If I don't eat, I'm like. I'm like a fucking animal. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
No weed. I'm like the biggest bitch.
Yeah.
anyway, yeah. So he keeps, you know, he would take the character home with him. And like, it's really funny. There's a scene. David Chase says it at James Gandolfini's eulogy. He's on, you know, the platform at the church. And he's like, we were filming a scene, I remember. And the script said, Tony goes over to the fridge and angrily shuts it and then goes and sits at the desk. And James Gandolfini does it and he breaks the fucking door off their fridge. And it just like set the rhythm off that they yelled cut. And James, you're going to do the impression, but he's like, the place I got to go. Place I got to go for this.
What?
The places I got to go for this role. Like
I got to fucking do this over again. Should have just kept it rolling.
James Gandolfini like breaks this door of this fridge and they yell cut. And James is like, lamenting about how the fact that like this role has really taken such a fucking toll on him. And David Chase just goes, did I say break the fridge? Does the script say break the fridge? It doesn't say that. It says Tony goes over and angrily closes the fridge. So that's like the thing is like, I feel like it's so hard to like do really like, I watched Hereditary recently and like Toni Collette, like she's so good. She's like, you work and go, you clean up as you go. And it's like, bitch, how did you fucking do that shit? That was so intense. Like I could never.
I,
So sorry to cut
No, don't apologize. You're the guest. I shouldn't be talking as much. I can't sit here and say I don't know, like, if I could or could not, but I'm just kind of in the
It's commitment. Like yeah. Can you get, like, I'm sure you're capable, but it's like, can I as personally? No, I can't commit.
But I think, though, there's, like, a similarity with, like, the really absurd, like, comedy. If you can commit to that, like, you can commit to the serious stuff because it's still just playing. But now, instead of relying as the joke to get you to that, like, point of ease, it's just like, these are the points that I have to hit, like, emotionally. Like, whatever it takes for you to prepare to get to be funny and silly and creative and have sex with a Furby.
Or, that's so easy.
Exactly. It's but there's still like some sort of preparation. Like, yeah, I gotta go. But some people can't do that.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable looking like an idiot.
So am I.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I know.
Look at my hat. No, I'm just kidding.
What do you mean?
Well, I never know how I look, and then when I catch glimpses of myself in the mirror, I'm like, I was looking like that this whole time.
Oh yeah, I'm really glad I like this mirror.
Yeah, isn't that cool? You could just see. It's almost like another camera.
You look great.
Thank you.
You look great.
Stoic.
I look great.
I think you can do it, Brooke. You already are working in so many different mediums. And you also won a lawsuit against a major corporation. So I don't think being a dramatic actor. You're planting some seeds.
We'll see where they go.
How do you balance working in the different stuff? Do you balance it well? Do you not? You just kind of just go for it.
Well, I don't have a love life. And that, like, is a big part of, like, I'm very hyper independent right now. And that's because I really suck at dating. And, like, mm-hmm. I was in a relationship, like, through the pandemic, living in the city. And then when I moved up here, we broke up. And, yeah, it's just, one, dating women is hard. Dating anyone's hard. Like, it doesn't have to be gay, straight, whatever. Dating, like, people suck. But I had two back-to-back, like, kind of crazy experiences. Like, and as a sober person, like, I have no problem, like, meeting up with someone at a bar when they're, like, half in the bag already. And, like, they're like, let's go to another bar. I'm like, I'm good. And so, yeah. You know, I've been, for the first time in my life, I'm alone, and I was always scared to be alone, but, like, now I'm not, and, like, doing it. And, you know, you kind of have to be good on your own, because even when someone comes along, like, that they're not going to magically fix you, so.
Yeah. There's still, even though you're with somebody, there's a lot of time where you still are with yourself only.
Yeah, and I gave up a lot of my independent time when I was in relationships, and I'm trying to learn how to be, like, no, this is, like, what I need, and, like, I need my time and stuff like that. And so I have no problem, like, just taking my time. But I'm getting out there, you know. Gigi, what's Gigi doing
later? What's Gigi doing later? She's probably going to watch baseball.
Mets? No, Phillies?
She's a Yankees fan. I think the
Yankees got a chance this year.
They do. I mean, they got a bye out of the first round. Mets are still in the playoffs.
Yeah,
they at the time Phillies. Of recording, it's October, what's that, October 4th?
They came back last night against the Brewers. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Was that Pete Alonso hit a
home Paula run? Pete!
Do you know what balling at what cost is?
Lacoste?
Balling at what cost?
Oh, no.
It's a built-in game show within the podcast, so it's very easy. All you have to do, I'm going to list three items. And all you have to do is guess the price of these three items and order them from least expensive to most expensive. Do you think you can do that?
I think so.
Okay. All right. So, normally we try to pick things, like, I switched it up. I've been picking things off of Facebook Marketplace instead. So that means the price could be very different as opposed to, like, Amazon. Because, like,
could be used.
If it's like, oh, like Uggs, you know they're probably going to be around the same price range. But if on Facebook Marketplace, there is such a ridiculous price fluctuation. So here are the three items. I'll show you what they look like since we don't have a big monitor up there to see. These all came from Facebook Marketplace. All right, so our first item is this Furby, a I Smoke, I Chill weed beanie.
I need that.
And my personal favorite, hot dog skateboard.
I could try flip that.
Just a random skateboard with a hot dog on it. So, Brooke, guess the price from least expensive to most expensive. You don't have to say the number per se. You just say what you think is the least expensive item.
I don't have to guess price.
No.
I was going to say $69,420 for everything.
Dollar sign.
Least expensive. Furby. Furby. What was the second one?
The weed hat.
Weed hat. Hot dog skateboard. Okay. Was it a fingerboard or a big skateboard?
Real skateboard.
Okay.
Not a fingerboard. I wouldn't
trick question. Okay. I'm going to say beanie, Furby, then skateboard.
Beanie, and then the Furby, and then the skateboard. Is that your least to most?
Least to most.
Beanie is the least expensive, and then Furby is the second.
Yeah.
And then the most expensive would be the skateboard. Are you locking that in?
I'm locking it in.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. So close, so close. So the beanie was $12.
That's the expensive.
The skateboard was $20. The Furby was $35 listed on Facebook.
Why? Because it's vintage?
I don't know.
Those things, the old ones were really scary.
They are fucking terrifying. There's one in this house somewhere. I know I had one when I was a kid in this house.
Well, the new one. Okay, so why the Furby? My roommate went to 90s Fest. He was a sound engineer in Brooklyn. And him and his friends went, and Furby sponsored it. So they literally were handing out the new version of the Furbies and their Bluetooth. Yeah. So, like, they would get drunk, and, like, he would bring out the Furby. And it, like, says, like, if you put two together, they'll start talking to each other, the new ones. So I, like, was skating one day in Brooklyn, and, like, it came to the stupid idea. The sketch came to me. So I bought another Furby, and, like, we would make them talk. I, like, once taped knives to them.
Oh, my God. Sociopath. Yeah. And that's how you ended up with, what is it? Blue just, is the warmest.
Blue is the warmest Furby. Blue but is yeah, the and I ended Furby. Up with a Furby. And I'm like.
Why is that funny? Are you familiar with a movie by a different title?
It's heartbreaking. Yeah. It's actually like, they've come out to be like, that was the worst movie ever. We've ever worked. What, that's not a French accent. Color.
It's a, okay. Not would I be much. Lying saying here, I didn't see that scene from that movie? Yes, I have. Little, way too, like, even for a French film, I'm like, that is God too
God
much.
God damn!
That is too much, man. Like, I put my phone down and I go, you know what? That is too much.
That is too much.
That is too much.
As a straight man. I don't like man, that.
As a straight man, this is too much lesbian sex.
Hot sex. But yeah, like, Furby, people, like Bernie, my old roommate, who had the Furby, and he recorded me in his room singing. I will never.
It was really weird seeing you with brown hair.
I know. I hate it. I like love.
Is that your natural hair color, or are you a blonde naturally?
Nah, bitch. I pay for these highlights. I wish it's. I would save money. You, I want to put highlights on.
Let's get you
virgin
in some
hair. Yeah, I want to do another Furby sketch.
All right.
I want to just up it. Just get weirder.
As we close this out, Brooke. What's next? What is next for Brooke?
I really do want to keep pursuing Titty Monster stuff and hopefully come out with some stuff, raise some money this October for the beanies. You know, I want to make cool shit really soon. Like that's honestly what I have for 2025. Like get back in the groove, you know, with, I feel like I finally have roots in this area, and like it took me a second to like really get grounded and like, you know, get steady work and stuff, and really like I love it up here and I'm not leaving. And yeah, like finally, like I have homies up here that are like weird like me, that like I want to make shit. I want to make shit. And then, you know, yeah, just keep making stuff with the homies.
Well, Brooke, there's only one last thing left. Every guest on this show has the opportunity to walk away with something cool, maybe, or $20. We have a mystery box here. And in this mystery box could be yours, something. Or you can have $20.
Okay, I went full Karen Cucumber at the dispensary today, and I really feel stupid about it. Mm-hmm. And I was so flustered, and I overpaid for my weed by $20. But I called and it's fine. It's all handled. Yeah. So that's so funny that you're like $20 or. But
like,
I want to do the mystery box.
$40.
No, I think the mystery box.
There could
always
be nothing.
Fuck money. I want the prize, bitch.
Mystery box. Hell yeah. You had me. You were like, oh, wait, don't say that.
No. I ain't no fool.
We did. Nobody ever takes it.
What? Why?
No, nobody ever takes the money.
Oh. Don't take the money.
What is it? Who knows?
I was obsessed with Legos as a child.
There you go. It's a Lego 3-in-1 kit. It could be a unicorn, a peacock, or a fish. I don't know.
I'm going to cry.
Yeah. I did not pick that because you're a lesbian, but it kind of did work out that it was rainbow.
You picked it because I'm a unicorn.
Yeah, that too. I was trying to...
Or a seahorse.
A seahorse. Or a duck. That's what it is. It looked like a fish of some kind.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming on the show, Brooke. Pleasure. Thank you for the hat. Thank you for this pin. Guys, go support Brooke. Go buy some cool stuff. Go buy some titties.
That's a glow-in-the-dark pin.
Yeah. It is glow-in-the-dark?
I need to make new merch because the old merch is so out. I need some new merch. And I had my Japanese friend Ryuta draw me some. He wrote Titty Monster in kanji.
Oh.
It's Chichi Kaiju.
Nice.
And my dog's name is Cheech. So I call him Chichi. So Chichi Kaiju. Chichi Kaiju. Monster Kaiju.
Yeah. Kaiju.
Kaiju. Gigi's titties.
And Gigi is downstairs watching TV.
Let's go fucking hang with Gigi.
Yo. All right. Well, Brooke, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank Always you for having pleasure. Me. Oh, my God.
And if you like what you listen to, ladies and gentlemen, like and subscribe. Leave a comment. Follow Brooke at...
You can follow Titty Monster Inc. on the gram. That's all I do. And then tittymonsterinc.com if you want to buy anything, support with the pink beanies. And then my photo stuff is on Bork Shoots. And then my website's just my name, brookcomedies.com. Comedies. So you remember.
Boom.
Boom.
Pop. Sound of my heart. The beat goes on and on. All right. Thank you, Spence. And thank you, the guests. And just remember, I forgot. Cut.
Dumb.